Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I've written four books. The first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. Secondly, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. And then Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities, and then Unlimited Possibilities, Walking in Purpose. That is my new book release, and you will be able to find that on my website, fromthesoulofawoman.com. And also you can email me or call me. We can reach at 954-724-0900. I have my co-host with me, Shirley Carter. Shirley, you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. I am also an entrepreneur, an author, and a motivational speaker. My first book I published back in December, which is Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man. You can also get that at my website at shirleymcarter.com. It is also available on amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, and smashwords.com. Thank you for joining us tonight.
I am so excited. I will be seeing you tomorrow, Shirley. It's been a minute. We are on the show every week. And it's going to be in living color. We'll be here for Les Brown speaker training the 26th through the 28th here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We're excited to have him come and share with some of the individuals in the community. You know what? So much has been going on. I tell you, I don't hardly turn the television on unless I'm looking at a game show like Family Feud or the Let's Make a Deal or something like that, simply because I can't be stressed out by so much, there's so much disruption in the world. And people are so mean and so cruel. And domestic violence is one of the main issues that are facing and plaguing our families. And it is just a tragedy that nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to admit it exists. I did a post on my wall for Facebook, for those of you that don't know what a post is when I say I did a post. Well, and I wanted to try something. And one of the things I wrote, you know, I've been inspired to do my food for thoughts on my Facebook pages. And one of the things I wrote one day was, I discovered that we spend so much time asking God for what we see when he wants to give us more than our eyes can see or ever imagine. We always want, oh, I see this and I want that. God, give it to me. But there's so much more, as I always say, that when you look in the mirror, there's so much more behind the veil, behind what you're seeing. And that's how it is with God. He wants to give us so much. And then I said, I'm going to post something regarding domestic violence. And the reason why I did, you know, I'm a strong advocate for domestic violence. And my foundation, the Soul of a Woman Foundation, was founded to bring awareness to domestic violence that exists in our communities. And I said, you know, when I post things, people are, you know, they'll like it or write a comment and stuff. But when I do something on domestic violence, nobody says anything. You don't even, it's almost like a hush comes over because nobody wants to accept, or, well, they know it exists, but nobody wants to talk about it. And one of the things I wrote today was the gospel of Jesus Christ is love, peace, joy, and love. However, domestic violence continues to plague our communities. If we can penetrate the heart of an abuser, then we can change the mind of an abuser. We are the light that has to shine ever so bright that we may eliminate the darkness that exists. And then I said, will you join me in this battle? Because one can chase 1,000, but two can chase 10,000 to flight. I think I got like two people that said they liked the post. And there was nothing. And I said, you know what? Nobody wants to come face to face or realize that this is an epidemic. And the only way that we can break the cycle or change the cycle, Shirley, is if we communicate, we bring awareness to it, we be the light to drive out the darkness. A lot of times the abuser acts the way he does is because he can, that manipulation, that control, because he's not satisfied with who he is, so he wants to dominate and take precedence over your life. And nobody has the power, nobody has that right. I shouldn't say no one has the power. Nobody has that right to do that, but it is done so many times.
Well, they really don't have the power. We give them the power. That's how
True.
It comes into play. We give our power away because no one can take it from you, but we submissively give it to them, or unbeknownst to us, we release our power to them by conforming to some of their action, or we start to internalize a lot of the things that they may say and do to us. And then we start second-guessing ourselves as to what did we do wrong? Maybe I did do something. Or, what can I improve on? What can I change? Never looking at the fact that there's something wrong with them. We always start with ourselves. When you're involved in a domestic relationship where it's abusive, we start to internalize and deal with our own self and start dealing with something that we can make different or change and everything. And before you know it, years have passed by, and then when that light finally comes on, because we're in darkness, and we need a light to bring us out. And with your organization, Val, and what you're doing, you're offering a light to people, but they got to reach and accept that light to come out of that darkness.
Yes.
Because as long as they're in that darkness, they're in denial, and there's so many people who are in denial that are just associated with it, that the ones that are not, they're blindsided by it. So I understand what you mean when you say you put that out there and people pass it over. You don't get, but put something else out there as something that's gossip. You're going to get
million
likes.
About gossip, yeah, they want to feed off of that. You get all kind of excitement and everybody like high five and stuff when you're talking about carnal things as opposed to physical or mental things. And because I was reading on the computer, what prompted me to post something regarding domestic violence. And I'm always talking about it, always, trying to be an advocate for those that are silent and are suffering in silence. But I read an article today about this man that killed his girlfriend and then killed her girlfriend and two other guys as he was leaving the apartment, and then the neighbor yelled out, "Call police," and he busted the door down and shot and killed the neighbor. So five people were killed as a result of a domestic disturbance. So, even being silent, you're involved. Whether you want to be or not, you are involved. So that's what prompted that today. And, I decided today on Hot Topics from the Soul, because Hot Topics is a lifeline to the community where individuals have the opportunity to say what's on their hearts, what's on their mind, and share and hopefully inspire and encourage someone that is in a listening audience to move to next level. And I was talking to a dear friend of mine, Melba Spears, who's a national recording artist. And I reached out to her because I had been calling her for a couple of weeks because she's about to release her new book. And I was like, okay, I need to know the status of your book because, ladies and gentlemen, this is a powerful, powerful book she's getting ready to drop. So, Melba, are you there?
I am here, Dr. Parker.
I am so glad I connected with you because you know what? I was really getting irritated, worried, scared. All of the emotions welled up when I couldn't reach out and find you, only to find out you were where?
In Nigeria, in Africa. Dr. Parker, it was one of those things that it was a door that got opened and quickly, I was able to get a visa in 2 days, and then the third day, that night, I was standing in an auditorium singing in Africa, in Nigeria.
Wow.
That was amazing. how that God just did that so quickly. And it was such a powerful, powerful meeting. People in Africa are hungry. They're hungry for the word of God. They're hungry for the presence of God. And I was just amazed at the people. They were in the overflow. They were outside. The auditorium was packed with thousands of people that came to hear the word of God. I was invited by a ministry, God's Mission, and Dr. Mike Murdoch was one of the speakers. He was there, and a number of other speakers. But it was an incredible time of ministry and just enjoying the Lord, you know, in worship and praise and worship.
Oh, great.
Amen.
You know, I had been reaching out to you because I'm helping you publish your first book, and I talked to you like 2 days, 3 days prior to, so that day, that the last day I talked to you, you must have gotten the call saying, can you come to Nigeria? So I'm like, kept here,
yes,
calling you saying, that's not like her, because we got to get this book off the press. So where is she? So then, only to find I'm talking to you, and then you come back and you call and say, when you get this message, call me. I'm like, can you get this message, call you?
In Africa, and I tell you, Shirley, Dr. Parker, before you go to heaven, you gotta go to Africa.
Well, they're gonna
have to knock me out.
Well, they're gonna have to knock me out for 24 hours, because I don't do long trips.
I've been trying to get her to go. You know, I said, let's do Africa. Let's take a trip. She was like, I'm not flying over 4 hours. You know, I was like, oh, my God.
I feel
well, you
like
know what?
I'm in
I
a
just believe...
box. I can't get out. I said, oh, no. And, I mean, like, when I go to L.A., it is just like, okay, when are we? Are we? I'm like the kids. Are we there yet?
Are we there yet? Well, Dr. Parker, I believe that God is going to open so many doors for us, you know, and God's going to give you the grace when it's time to go to Africa. You will have the grace to do what you need to do. So there are hurting women, there are hurting people. In fact, you know, Dr. Parker, I was talking to you about a young lady that I met, and she was going through some similar situations that we've talked about in the past. She's the administrator to one of the dignitaries there, and she has a lot of connections. She was dating this young man. She's 35, and he's like 40, and, you know, they're both loving the Lord, and he's in ministry, and she's doing everything that she can do to help him, because she just figured in a few months they would be married. She got him a job, this very good job. And after he passed his probationary period, she said she noticed how he was just starting to change. And then he sent a text message, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me, a text message that it was over. It devastated her.
You mean they do that
her.
In Nigeria too?
Come on. That's why I said you got to go. You got to go. People are divorcing in Nigeria. The women are hurting in Nigeria, just like they are in the States. He sent her a text message, broke it off. Now, he's 40 years old, broke their relationship, and a few weeks later, married a 20-year-old.
Wow.
A young woman half his age. And she was, and it's been a year. She's been struggling with that thing a year, and just tears in her eyes, totally devastated. And I thought, God, this is why. For such a time as this, you prepared us to minister to hurting women. And it's all over the world we have to go. So get ready, Dr. Parker. Get ready, Shirley.
All right, I'm ready.
Amen.
Well, I'm thankful to the Lord that I have people in the listening audience that don't mind taking that trip to be ministers and effective for those people that are hurting in those areas, because I'm not able. I just can't.
Listen, Anderson.
Like, pass.
When it's time to go, when it's time to go,
hours.
She'll be ready.
She'll be ready. Yes,
she'll
be ready.
God's grace is sufficient, honey. You
Amen.
Do what I
that's
do.
Why
get on
I
that
believe
plane.
That he'll, that's why I believe that, you know, different people have different anointings for different things. And
mm-hmm.
I know my anointing does not lie in Nigeria.
Go ye, Shirley, help me say this one. Go ye into all the world.
Go, yes, teaching.
Isn't that the commandment?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. That's why he had 12 disciples.
Stay in the USA.
That's why he had 12 disciples, because some went
okay.
and some didn't.
Okay, Dr. Parker.
But Melba, let's talk more about your new book that's coming out in a couple of weeks.
Okay. The name of the book is Who Told You He Is Your Husband? And I wrote this book, Dr. Parker, because I was so concerned about so many young ladies who are single waiting on God to give them husbands. And sometimes they've waited for so long, they've looked out and chose somebody that they want to be their husband and start believing God, that's my man. I'm going to marry that man. And I know several women who have, and if I name this particular evangelist, Dr. Parker, you will know. And so what she's done is believe that God told her that that is her husband. She went out and bought the wedding dress, all the everything that goes, all the fringes, all the frills that goes with the wedding dress, the invitations, and just basically set up a wedding at a time that she was supposed to marry this man. He does not even know she exists.
That's happening
a lot.
Of it, that's happening a lot.
It's happening a lot. And the truth of the matter is that God gave the right to the man to choose a wife. Now, what the woman has to do is get in the presence of God and be prepared when the man comes and she's chosen. But you hear it a lot. God told me he's my husband. And a lot of women, Dr. Parker, have gotten themselves in a lot of trouble. There's been a lot of heartache, unnecessary pain, because they believe that God said that man is a husband. And in the book, you got to get the book when it comes out, because the book shows, puts a light on that deception that the enemy, what the enemy has done to a lot of women, and have devastated them, because God never spoke that to them. And it, the book is
well,
going
to
show
you. What do
you
say to, and if, but how do you say that God never spoke it? Because, you know, I have come across, they're divorced now, but anyway, I have come across men and women who said that they married individuals because they thought they heard God, and then there are several instances where individuals got married because their pastor said so, that they said that they trusted their pastor so much and believed that he heard from God, to the fact that they married individuals just because the pastor said so.
And a lot of them, Dr. Parker, are divorced. And the ones that are not divorced are miserable, because there are 10 questions in the book that I ask people to sit down and ask themselves questions, and you know, ask that mate for each, to ask each other. And a lot of times once they get to the 10th question, they'll know they're not compatible at all. So a lot of this going into the spirit and God said is not God. That's why we have so many divorces. I think people should date. It's good to date. But I know a young lady, Dr. Parker, who married a man that was in prison. Now, they started dating before he went to prison. So she married him as soon as he got out of prison. There was a lot he had not told her. He was a bigamist. It was terrible. But had she done a background check? A background check, ladies, would have told her a lot about this man that would have saved her heartache. He stole her. He had her to cash in 401s, sell property, put the money in the bank that they were going to buy this house. And he was, oh, my goodness, he stole all of her money. So there's a checklist of 10 questions. If they were asked those 10 questions, God will reveal deception. Out of one of those questions, they're going to hit the nail on the head.
Mm.
What we, as women, we make the mistake because we want husbands. And some of us have waited so long. And the enemy knows that. And so you start, you know, we go in this fantasy land of make-believe, of this is what we want it to be. And we hardly even know the person. So does it take God a long time to let you know whether this person is yours or not? No, it doesn't. But you can save yourself a lot of heartache by doing these 10 things that I've put in my book. And you say, well, what are they? And I'm going to tell you by the book. Are you there?
Okay. Yes, I was saying that's really interesting because I know that a lot of individuals are going to be trying to run and get this book because some of the things you're talking about, they've already come across.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, myself, I'm very transparent in this book. I tell about the time that I almost married a couple of times. And the guy that I was dating, and I told you about this, Dr. Parker, was, oh, he was so loving and he was so kind to me. And I just knew, you know, Lord, this is the man. But being a Christian, there's something on the inside of me that kept pulling me towards fasting about my relationship with him. And I gave the Lord a week's fast, you know, from morning to 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I constantly prayed. I went to sleep one Saturday afternoon, and I had this dream. And in the dream, we were in church, and my fiance, the pastor asked us all to get on our knees. And my fiance was just speaking out of turn. You know, the pastor said, well, pray in your prayer language if you have one. And he started to speak in English instead of his prayer language, which was in tongues. He started to speak in big words. And I looked down at my finger, and the engagement ring that he gave me, it was only half of a ring. There was a diamond cluster on the top, and on the bottom of it, I'm sorry, losing my voice, there was nothing connecting the ring from the top to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I woke up. I was so stirred. I got my purse and went straight to his house. Excuse me, need to get some water.
Okay.
And when I went in his house, I asked him, what have you not told me? And whatever it was the anointing, I guess, that was up on me. He started telling me the times he had been in prison.
Ooh.
He was in prison for embezzlement.
Ooh.
He was in prison several times for theft. Just so much in his past. And so when I asked him, why hadn't you told me any of this? He said, because I knew if I told you this, you wouldn't marry me. And I said to him, you know what, you're right, I'm not going to marry you. But it has nothing to do with your past. But I'm not marrying you because you tried to deceive me.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
The deception was, you know, What if I would have married him? He had all of this in his past, which means that he would not be able to get a decent job. He got so mad, Shirley and Dr. Parker, that he took his fist and rammed it in the wall.
Wow.
That was another side of him I'd never seen. So the first fist through the wall, what do you think the second fist would have been? Upside my head. He was very violent, and I didn't know that part of him. So, ladies, especially ladies who are meeting men on the Internet, that's okay. I'm not saying don't meet somebody on the Internet. But I'm saying before you get involved with this man, do a background check. Now, you say, well, what if he gets upset? No man worth his salt would care about you doing a background check on him if he's really honest with character mm-hmm. and integrity. So the book is, who told you he is your husband? A lot of women say, well, God said he's my husband. Well, when you read this book, you may see not so. Not so.
You know what? It's funny you should talk about that story, which was your, which you're talking about, Melba, because I was watching this show on TV One. It's this new show called Deceived. And last night they had this couple on. This lady went through exactly that. This guy, she met him somewhere, you know, in the street, and he began to kind of seduce her emotionally and, you know, made her feel like she was the most beautiful, gorgeous person in the world and that there was nothing he wouldn't do for her. And he had nothing, but he put on this persona. They wound up living right here in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale area. But she was in New York, so he was going back and forth from New York to Florida. And he not only had this woman, but he had another woman promising them that he was going to marry them. And these women, well, one of them, the one that really got hijacked, she wound up selling her home in New York and relocating down here and putting all her money in his account, and he demolished it all. And she didn't, and all this happened within a matter of 6 months. She sold her house, moved down here. They opened up a joint account, but he was the only one writing checks. Mm-hmm. And then when she started, you know, talking about she wanted her money back, then he became physical with her. And she had picked up his phone one day, and when a call came in and he wasn't there, and this woman was on the phone, and she said that she was his fiancé. She said he was his fiancé, and then from this fiancé, she went on and said that they were living together, so he was living in both places. And she was afraid of him because he had told this one that if you run your mouth, I'm going to kill you and your kids. So she was afraid for her children's life. But she had taken out $50,000. She did a home equity loan from her house, and he was trying to get her to sell the whole thing. And then the house that the first woman thought that he had put the majority of money on and bought, he didn't even buy the house at all. It was somebody else's house. They were just in it.
Wow.
Well, it happens. This the woman that I told you about, that the guy took all her money that came out of prison, he was taking her credit cards, and she had all kind of Victoria's Secret underwear and expensive stuff that was her money. He was spending her money on other women.
Wow.
So the thing, women, there are signs. There are signs that you may not understand fully what you feel, but the fact that something is messing with your spirit about that man, check it out. Check it out. because there's one thing that God is going to do, and especially if you're a Christian, he loves you. He loves his handmaidens, and he's not going to let you go wrong or get your life tied up with somebody that really does not love you. So don't ignore the warning signs. The red flags go up in every relationship that's not right. But a lot of times we as women, we're lonely, and we want somebody so bad, we ignore the warning sign.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, but that's what happens with love. People ask me, did I see any warning signs with my ex before I married him, anything about his temper or that he was subject to be violent? And I didn't see. Well, I know he was always getting fired from a job or couldn't keep a job, and everybody was always against him, and so that's why he had to go. But he always, you know, would find another job, and he was so charismatic that, you know, everybody liked him and stuff. They just didn't want to work with him. So that's the only thing that I saw. And, you know, a lot of times we mistake love for control for love. Oh, he wants to know where I am because he cares so much about me. Oh, he's calling to check on me, this and that. When the bottom line is he's calling and checking on you because he want to make sure you're where you're at. So if he's doing his thing, you won't bust him. So, you know, they're master manipulators, both men and women. There's two sides to every story. But there are master manipulators, but we have to keep our eyes open and be aware of what's around us, be aware of who is in our life space, be aware of manipulators that, you know, can deceive you if you let them.
But, you know, Dr. Parker, we as women, once we give God your heart, and let God give your heart to whoever man is deserving of it. You know, we want to be loved, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we just give him everything. We give the man our heart, our emotions, our everything. Give it to the Lord, and let God give it to him. Let the man go through God to get to you.
Right.
And if he can get through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says to you, they're okay. And a lot of times we'll go into a relationship, and let me say this. Every man that you meet, or every man that pays attention to you, is not the man that God's sending you. Some of these relationships should only be platonic. There should have never been anything but platonic. But what we do, we go in believing that, and there's nothing wrong with believing God for your husband. But we just give him everything. You know, we give him our bodies. We give him everything. And once you give a man your body, ladies, you've given him your trump card. You have nothing else. What else do you have to give him? And I say to women, if you really want that man, make him wait.
Mm-hmm.
If it's God, it will keep. But he's got to see something different in you than he sees in the other women. So if you go on a date with him and just ready to sleep with him, he's gotten everything that he could ever get from you. But if you just wait, you know, I tell women all the time, wait. Do you really want this man? Then wait. And if he really, really wants you and really, really loves you, he will wait on you.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't, next.
Yeah,
the man that really loves you.
What do you, Melba, I'm getting a little off track, but what do you say to those women that say, well, I ain't got that much time. The clock is ticking.
Okay. Well, if they feel that they don't have that much time, the clock is ticking. The clock is still going to be ticking when they walk down the aisle going to the divorce court.
Ugh.
It's still going to be ticking.
Yeah.
And especially if you're that old, you don't have time to be making the mistakes over and over. Going around the same mountain, around, as Joyce Meyer said, don't this mountain look familiar?
Wow.
Hmm.
There is nothing that going to be that can separate you from the women that he's sleeping with all the time, unless you uphold
make
your
a difference.
Standards. You've got to make a difference. Men feel like they don't have to make a commitment to women anymore.
Right. Because they're getting everything
you know,
they want.
Why buy the cow when they can get all the milk they want?
Mm-hmm.
True.
Amen, ladies?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen on all me.
Hear you. This is, those of you just joined, this is Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker, of course, and I have Melba Spears, a national recording artist, on the line, and she just got back from Nigeria, and she was sharing some excerpts from her upcoming book. She's going to still be recording, but she's transitioning into writing, and I tell you, this first book is going to be a doozy. So those of you that have any questions or comments, this is Open Floor on Hot Topics from the Soul, so we can hear what's going on in the hearts and minds of individuals in our community. You just press 1, and I'll be more than happy to chime you in. So, Melba, the young lady that you were talking about in Nigeria that's going to prompt your next book after this one drops, you said that the young man texted her and said it was over and that was it.
He texted her. He didn't have enough in him to call her. Or to say, you know what, I need to meet with you and talk to you about something. None of that. She got a text that it was over. So she tried to call him back. He wouldn't answer. So she texted him and asked, you know, can't we talk about it? He texted her back and told her it was nothing to talk about. This is after she had used her influence to get him a job. And she knew that it was something wrong. He was acting different with her, and he just held on long enough to pass his probationary period and, you know, get stable on that position, and then he dumped her and shortly after married a 20-year-old. So that's happening all over the world. Women are hurting, and I just believe that God is having us write books and opening doors for us to go in and be, you know, a balm in Gilead for these women, you know, that are hurting.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that I feel that God has called me to do is to heal the broken hearts and the wounded spirits of both men and women, because it affects different individuals different ways. And when you're hurt, there is no gender involved. You're just hurt.
Right.
Everybody it comes from a place of brokenness when they've been somewhere where they feel that life is over. And when you've given all, and even, you know, those of you that have made investments and lost because of the stock market and the different things that's been facing our communities as far as the finances and what have you, God has been redeeming and keeping a lot of us that normally would have sunken, normally would have crumbled, we've been able to maintain and still walk with our heads high in a place of decency and faith because we've gotten the favor of the Lord with us. And with that, you don't need any money. So I thank God for, you know, those of you who have been through the storm but are yet standing and yet remaining. That's what I talk about also in my new book, Unlimited Possibilities, is the fact that we've got everything we need to get to the next level. You know, mm-hmm. we all go through certain situations and circumstances, but we don't give up. We don't give up the fight because of the fact that, you know, we're winners. We're going to win at the end. The victory is at the end. And a lot of times what the problem is we won't endure to the end. We crumble and give up saying, woe is me, or why am I going through this? Well, why not you? If right. not you, then who? And I guess that's where that saying comes in, that God doesn't put any more on you than you can bear, because guess what? You're still standing. You're still facing the onslaughts day in and day out. Things are still crumbling. Jobs are still going out. Relationships are still falling. Buildings are still crumbling, and you're still here. So just thank God for where you are, and hopefully you understand whose you are. That knows that this light affliction is but for a moment, and that we're heirs to the promises. Because, you know, a lot of times, like I said, we look for things that's in front of us when there's so much more. Sometimes you do have to lose in order to gain, because in the losing process, is, I believe that's when a lot of individuals find themselves. And really, that's where I found myself. In my pain is where I found out who Valerie Parker was. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known her or been introduced to this woman she is now. Because, you know, we're naturally lazy people. If things are working, we stay complacent and at ease. But when there's a little turbulence along the way, it kind of stretches us and throws us into another dimension where we rely on instincts that we didn't even know we had. So that's why a lot of times we're in situations that take us to the next level.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, Dr. Parker,
to the next level. Mm-hmm.
When we remember what the Word of God says concerning us in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And the plan is to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And so, as you were saying, regardless to what we go through, even the turbulence, when we remember that God's plan, even in that, is to do us good and not evil.
Mm-hmm.
And then God's in the plan, and he's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. And so whatever you're walking through, whoever's listening to us, God's plan for you at the end of this thing is to do you good. So if you can jot down Jeremiah 29:11, and put that scripture to heart day and night, it will help you to walk through whatever you're going through and know that it's just a season. It's just for this time. And you're not going to go down, because God promised you in Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah, in Psalms 89:34, he says, "My covenant will I not break, but I will honor that which has been spoken out of my lips." So that means
Amen.
That whatever he has named or called you to be, if you listen to his voice, be led by his spirit, and know, you know, people say that's intuition. Well, intuition, whatever you want to call it, but it is him speaking. There's only one God, regardless of what we call him, Yahweh, Buddha, Muhammad, whatever. He is yet God. He is God.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to listen to that voice that directs us, because he said it was lead and guide us into all truth, and the truth is what is going to set us free.
Amen.
So we must be the light. We must light our light shine, and we must be, you know, and walk in the greatness that he has prepared us to walk in. And the only reason why way we can do that is by being obedient.
Amen.
Amen.
And then we won't succumb to the relationships. We won't be caught unaware, distracted, because we're acting in our emotions, and then men act in their he-motions, as Bishop T.D. Jakes says. which is a powerful read for men, because I believe the more we're educated, both men and women, we're educated on how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in business and relationships, we'll all be better individuals, we'll all be better beings, we'll all be better parents if we're educated and in the knowledge of the truth, so that we can be able to be effective individuals on the planet. And that's where we get derailed in life. We get distracted, sidetracked. And because we get sidetracked, we don't know what we're doing, because we don't know how to do things. And then we start falling off and running into diverse temptations, being in relationships we shouldn't be in, giving our money to individuals, money that we work hard for. We succumb to buying love, because that's what it winds up being. You're buying love. Feeling if that if I could just do for him, and if I could just give him my body, and if he'll know just how wonderful I am, oh, I'm going to put something on him. And the reality is he's putting something in on you.
Yes, right.
I'm going to put something on him. He ain't going to never leave. No, he's putting it on you.
And it's costing you.
Yeah.
I have a question, Dr. Parker, that I'd like to ask if someone want to call in. And I'd like to know what you and Shirley think. What if your husband or my husband or Shirley's husband, what if these men are not of our race?
Not of our race?
Not of our race. How would you feel about
you like,
a man that loves you that's not of your race?
Okay.
You can love me. I don't know if I can love him back. Go ahead.
Let me see if I can get an understanding of what you're asking. What if the man that falls in love with you is not of your race? So it's someone that you've been dating. That's, you know, and that basically, are you asking what about dating outside of our race?
About
yes, how many ways are you going to say that?
Okay, because she said, what if it's not of our race? What if he's not of our race? And then I just want to make it clear, first of all, you've already started dating outside of your race. And when you start dating outside of your race, it doesn't matter what complexion a man is. If you're dating someone, there's always the possibility that he will fall in love with you or you will fall in love with him. And my perspective on that is that love is colorblind. It doesn't, you know, if you are interested in a person and you're dating that person, that opportunity or that possibility is always there, that you could fall in love with him or he could fall in love with you. And so that's why I asked you, were you referring to falling in love with someone outside of your race, is that okay? And that's why my answer is love is colorblind. Because
okay.
The heart will love who it wants to love. You know, that is especially if you're Christian and, you know, you're really rooted in your Christianity as far as your relationship with Christ. You know, your heart doesn't see a color.
Well, there are some women who, some of them have never thought about it because they feel like, okay, I'm African-American or I'm Hispanic, I'm white, and they just automatically feel that their husband is supposed to be of their race, but not necessarily so. You remember the
Vietnam
War? Is
that why I'm still single?
Well, it could be.
I mean, we've closed down some options that we should leave open.
Amen.
Now, during, there were 53 million men that were killed in that Vietnam War. That's in our age group. So I'm thinking, God, it's a possibility that some of us have shut down marrying a man out of our race. And so if we would keep our options open, I know at one point that was taboo for me. It was a no-no. God had to really deal with me, even concerning Moses and how that Aaron and what is her name? Help me out, you guys. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but
how they had
point.
Comments. How they had comments against Moses marrying an Ethiopian woman, and God got angry. So I said, well, God, if this is who that you have for me, who am I to reject a gift that you're giving me, and especially if that man is me? And I thought, I've been single for so long. God, I want the man that you have for me. I'm ready for my husband. If he's polka dot and chartreuse, I want my husband. So I want to say to the ladies out there, if you're hearing and you've not thought about this, inquire of the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of times we, you know, a man can say something to us outside our race and we just totally shut down. And it just be the maybe the man that will love and honor you and take care of you. So I said that to say this, leave your options open. Like Shirley just said, you don't care if he's outside your race. If this man loves you, I want to take care of you, honey, think about it.
Yeah, you know, I've never really entertained it, even though my sister, her husband's Caucasian. They've been married, 16 years now? And I still never entertained it. So,
well, you're not the only one.
I never thought about it.
Well, you're not the only one. That's why I'm saying, ladies, keep your options open. And, you would be surprised at the women who never thought about it, and they thought, you know what? There's this one guy that's really, it's really been in my face, but I never entertained dating a white guy. Well, entertain it, and let's just see what happens.
Mike,
are you there?
All I have to say is if it happens, then you will know that is definitely God because of the fact that I never would entertain it. I have a caller holding last digit 7075. You have 60 seconds. Question or comment?
Well, it's a comment. Hi, Valerie. This is Mary Robinson, your last guest.
Oh, hi, Mary. How are you? Thank you for joining.
Yes, I'm calling because I wanted to share with you something that T.D. Jake says about relationships and why most people fall into the traps. He says that companionship and relationship in human creation is as vital a need as food and water. And then he says it's more than a want, and for many it's an absolute need. And until they find themselves making rash and irrational decisions, they're more horrified with being alone than they are being unhappy. So most people, when they are lonely, they make these rash decisions and fall into these abusive relationships just for companionship. And he says that it's like the most horrible thing you can do, because he says when the decision is rooted in fear of being alone or the fear of being rejected or worse, it is the embarrassment that many of us feel that stops us from meeting our need to have someone share in our lives. What it is, most people want companionship, but they fear of being in love, is what he's saying. We all want to want something, but we're running from it at the same time. So we either have to want that love and accept that love to have that love. And when we don't do that, because, you know, you see, men seem to think that love is a weakness. You know, if I love this woman, you had a boy, man, you soft, you know. I mean, you soft, you, I mean, you, that woman got you like that, or you are whipped, or, and God created a man to have a woman and a woman to have a man. And we have to stop looking at it as a bad thing. Like, being in love is not a bad thing. It's the most wonderful thing you could have if you really love each other. So I just want people to know, stop running for something that you're seeking. You either grasp it, face up to it, or don't be in it at all.
Thank you so much for that comment, Mary. I have another caller holding 6362, I believe that is.
Yes, hi, Valerie. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Oh, yes. This
okay,
is,
we got 60 seconds. Okay.
I just want to agree with the last caller, and yes, not to run regardless of what the color may be, because if you're in love, like Shirley had said, love is colorblind. Ask me, I know. Thank you.
All right, ask you, you know. Okay. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, so Melba, being that you asked that question, we got some answers for you. You have 60 seconds to wrap up your closing comment, and we look forward to hearing, having you back on the show once you drop that book, because I'm sure people want to buy it, because I can't wait to read it in its entirety.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Parker, for having me on. But I really want women to consider the outer race aspect of relationship, because the interracial marriages, as the lady just said, apparently she's enjoying hers. So, you know, give it a try. The next time that you are approached by a man outside of your race, instead of snarling at him, just wait and see what may turn up. And if you gain a friend, it's always good to gain a friend. And send a letter to Dr. Parker and let her know, you know, I tried it and it's working for me. I know a lot of people that I've met recently with interracial marriages, and they are happy. They're happy. So I want you to know that the book is coming out, Who Told You He Is Your Husband? And it's not a large book, but it's powerful. And it's full of tips that will help single women choose the right man.
Thank you so much for sharing. And as always, we always run out of time on Hot Topics from the Soul, so you got to be back with me next week, next Tuesday, 8 p.m. on Hot Topics from the Soul, and make sure you visit my website, fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's fromthesoulofawoman.com, and you can email me at soultopics@gmail.com. Thank you, and have a great evening. And also, those of you that are in the Fort Lauderdale area, you can visit Les Brown Speaker Training. Go to lesbrownevents.com to find out more about that event. That's lesbrownevents.com. Thank you, and have a good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.